to serve you, to know the power that's in your name, that when we call on you, God, all things are possible. I'm grateful, Lord, for your mercies that are new every morning, for every time I get to wake up and be in your presence. Oh, God, that is free, your presence, Lord, that can change lives. I thank you, Lord, for your strength and for your mercy. I pray, God, that you will be in this place. God, that we will all have come expecting for you to move, oh God, and that we will come ready to worship, to give you the glory and the adoration that you are so deserving of. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. God, touch every heart here. You know every need. You know every hurt. Have your way in this place this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Give me Jesus, no turning back.
Help me with this one. This one is not something I know very well. I'm not always comfortable with the rhythm of these songs, but I do love the words. So,
journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary through the crimson flow. May arrows pierce my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, bid Him sing forever of His saving grace. But now on those streets of glory, let me lift my voice, as I'll pass home at last, you're going to rejoice. And in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's hands may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever be tied. But now, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, let Him sing forever of His saving grace. Well, now on those streets of glory, let me lift my voice, as I'll pass home at last, able to rejoice. And now He's though I look toward the mountains high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender head outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, let Him sing forever of His saving grace. On those streets of glory, let me lift my voice, as I'll pass home at last,
one more time, sing that.
Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, let Him sing forever of His saving grace. On those streets of glory, let me lift my voice, hands all past, all my last, ever to rejoice. Hands all past, all my last, ever to rejoice.
Standing, let's pray with me as we ask God to bless the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to give the word of life, Lord, that those of us that hear might take it to the death of their heart. Lord, let them that have ears to hear, let them hear this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, and help thy servant this morning to say nothing, Lord, that is out of thy will, Lord, except for what is in thy will, should I say in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You may be seated. Amen. God is good, isn't he? As I thought on this lesson this morning, it hadn't been too long ago that I believe that I taught this before. And it's the Beatitudes. It's an attitude of worship that God wants us to have. Amen. Many times that the world not particularly likes to hear these things. Even sometimes we as church members don't like to hear it. But you know, the Sermon on the Mount, many people are different ideals about it. Some will take it and they'll go to the extreme left and they'll say, well, if you don't do these things, this is your salvation. But there's nowhere in there that it speaks of the gospel. Amen. This is our efforts that we serve God through after we're saved, after we come to God in Christ Jesus. And this is what God wants us to do. Now, some say, and to the extreme right, well, they won't have anything to do with it. Amen. But you can't add to, you can't take away from the Word of God. Jesus put it here for a purpose. And he said in the Sermon on the Mount, it's the fine-tuning, if you will. Amen. This is where we let our light so shine before men that they'll see our good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. Amen. It's a fine-tuning. Amen. Most of us know we don't murder. I don't need anybody. That's not a fine-tuning. That's just, everybody should know that. If you don't, you have a mental problem. Amen. We all know those things. The works of the flesh, most of the works of the flesh, we know we don't do those things. Amen. But it's a fine-tuning. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. That's where our lives, the Sermon on the Mount is the perfect standard for the Christian. Amen. And this is what God wants us to do. I'm going to read something to you now. And I don't have this wrote down, so if they don't want to bring it up, they don't have to. But Matthew 5 and 14, it says, it says that you're the light of the world. Amen. And in verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men that they'll see your good works. Some say, well, this is all for the millennial. Well, Jesus is with them. This is the time that Jesus is not here, and we're the light of the world. So this is what God wants us to do. But I'm going to read something to you in Galatians, starting with verse 5 and 16. Speaks of the works of the flesh. All right, before I do that, let me read our scripture lesson today so everybody know where I'm coming from. Amen. Matthew, we're going to start with Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And I added this one, which is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 7 and 28. And the people were astonished at his doctrine. Amen. They're still astonished at it today. They still can't get what it's saying. Sometimes they can get it, but you know, the same as Satan did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say God didn't say those things. He just said that God wouldn't do what he said. And that's where we're at today, and that's where the church has been for many years, but especially in this day and hour. Amen. We live in a church age that is lukewarm. And the things that we're not so much concerned about what we need to do in God, we're more concerned about what we don't have to do in God. And nowhere has that ever been. But I'm going to read in Galatians now. Galatians 5, and starting with verse 16, speaks of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5 and 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then starting in verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, of such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, if you get into the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing he tells you, let your light shine before men. This is what God wants us to do. And this is a fine tuning of the Christian walk. And some people will say, well, I don't believe you have to do that. Now, do I believe it's our salvation, or our salvation is always the grace of God? It comes through Jesus Christ. These other things is the attributes of our salvation, the things that God wants us to go into. And sometimes if you're not ready for the Sermon on the Mount and you read that and you're a new Christian and you just go, man, you say, how can I ever do that? But you know, through the Spirit of God, we can be made overcomers. We can live a whole lot. I mean, I live a whole lot better life than I did before I came to Christ. I mean, you wouldn't even like me if you'd known me. But I thank God that he loved me. And amen, he let me reach bottom, because you know what? I had to reach bottom before I'd ever look up. And a lot of things that I did before I came into God, I think about those things now, and it's almost as if I was never that person. It just seems like that's not who I was. Well, I wasn't that person anyway until I got under the influence of the things of this world. But God wants us to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. He wants us to walk in newness of life. And this is what we have to do in God. Not that your flesh is always going to fight you all the way. Just because the flesh don't want to do it, it don't mean that's where you stop. Amen. That's where you deny yourself and follow Jesus Christ. Now, all the things that I read here that are of the flesh, and the murders and all of those other things, most of you would agree, well, we shouldn't do those things. And you're not going to do those things if you're a Christian, but God wants to bring you a step further. Amen. He wants to fine-tune you. You know, I know enough about music to know this. If you don't have a guitar tuned up or a piano or whatever it is, they don't have to worry about that too much today. It's all tuned in there for them. But you have to fine-tune that instrument to get the right sound. It has to be a certain sound that you're looking for, and that's what we have to do in Christ Jesus. We let God fine-tune you. I mean, you say, well, I just don't want to do this. Well, you know what? You think about what attitude that is. Just think about it. What attitude is that? Because that's the reason the Bible says you've got to be blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And you have to, now, in the spiritual realm, there's two things that always kicks off everything. You have to be humble. Humble kicks is a kicker for everything else. That's the kicker. If you don't humble yourself before God, you can't even get your start. So blessed are the poor in spirit. And it has another meaning also. You have to come recognizing that you need a Savior. You have to come with that in your mind that you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. That's the reason Jesus was so hard on the Pharisee hypocrites that they already figured out a way that they could save themselves. But we have to come in the spirit to God recognizing our spiritual poverty. That you don't have nothing to offer Him. He's got everything to offer you. I heard a man tell me one time, he said he's in a different place altogether, but he said, "You got nothing to tell me. I've got everything to tell you." I just go, "What are you going to do, you know?" All right. I know what it takes to be saved. I know what it takes to come and humble myself before an altar in repentance. I know what that takes. I knew what that took before I was ever saved. I knew what that took before I ever spent a second down here. I knew I'd come hopeless except I had Jesus Christ. I knew that. You have to have that attitude. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to humble yourself before God or you're never going to be saved. Now, God has a plan of salvation. Man has made their own plan, but it's not going to work. It's going to take the plan of God. And to mourn, one of the other second beatitude. You know, everything you got here goes against the world. The world don't care too much about the humble. They'll run right over him. Amen. In the world, sometimes you got to be steadfast. Amen. That's not the humbleness God's talking about. God's talking about the humbleness that you'll humble down before Him. Amen. Sometimes, but we still have to have a spirit of humility, even out in the world. Amen. You can do your job. You can still do what you have to do. But you can do it all in a godly manner, and God will bless you in it. But to mourn. You see, many people today, we hear a lot of things about, especially on the news, all these politicians, they're all mourning because they got caught. Amen. But God wants you to mourn because of your sins, the sins that nobody else knows about except maybe you and God. Amen. This is our cleansing. Amen. We are cleansed by the Word of God. Mourn is to constantly seek the Spirit to cleanse all remaining sins. Amen. And the kicker for everything else is pride. And I'm sorry, but we got a lot of it in the church. Amen. I mean, I dress the best I can so everybody think I look all right. You know, I don't want everybody to look at me and say, "Oh, look at that poor guy." But you know, there's another section I'll get to, but you know, what you see on the outside is not necessarily what you will see on the inside. Now, I believe to a Christian, you see a man outside, maybe he is dressing more than what he is on the inside, but he is striving to get to that place. And we have to separate ourselves from the world. The Bible says, "Be ye separate." We separate ourselves from the world to start with. Amen. That we don't have to content with that. So we separate ourselves from the world. And nobody here can tell me that you've never had a time in your Christian walk with God that you did something and it just hurt your heart right then. And you begin to mourn in the spirit. You begin to mourn. And God said, "Blessed are they that mourn. Amen, for such is the kingdom of God." We have to take these, if you were perfect when you first got saved, now I need to talk to you. I mean, when you got up and when you began to walk. I want to talk to you. Because we are in a process. Amen, some things we just don't know that's wrong until the preaching of the word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is what cleanses us. Amen. When you see something in the Word of God, and it will automatically cause you to mourn in the Spirit. Amen. If it's something that you need to get closer to God in. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Amen. That's what mourning is. Godly. It's a godly sorrow. Amen. That worketh repentance. Amen. You came to God for your salvation. Amen. You come to God humbly for your salvation. Now you begin to walk with God, and now you begin to mourn for the things that you are fighting. And God help you that. He said, a godly sorrow. Don't be sorry because you got caught, but a godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Maybe it's some things that you're having to deal with, some things you have trouble with. But remember, these beatitudes is the attitude that God wants a Christian to have. But it has to be through the Spirit of God. Amen. What did Paul say? He said, O wretched man, in Romans 7 and 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He goes on to say, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for through the Lord Jesus Christ that He's the one that's going to deliver me from this body of death. Amen. And Peter, when God told him, talked about how he was going to, that people would deny him. He said, I'll never deny you. He said, you'll deny me thrice before the cock crow. What did Peter do when he seen that? It touched him in his heart. He began to mourn. He cried bitterly. That's what it talks about, to mourn in the spirit. Amen. But the proud, they will say, God, you accept me the way I am. See, they mess up on something. God accepts you the way you are right here. That's when He's going to save you. But then we're going to walk in newness of life. Amen. Then that's when your walk begins with God. And that's the beatitude. This is the attitude that you got to have. Amen. Before you can please God, before you can get anything from God, you've got to go God's way. The meek. The Bible says, Jesus says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Talk about, and He tells us in Sermon on the Mount, He tells you to turn the other cheek. He says, love your enemies. What can you say? What reward have you if you love only them that love you? The Bible says, don't the publicans do the same? Amen. We got to love the Democrats and the Republicans today. Ain't none of them lovable. Amen. We got to love those that despitefully use us. Now, how are you going to do that without the Spirit of God dwelling within you? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, the fourth beatitude. Now, this right here can determine your walk in God, can determine how far you go. The Bible says, if you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And all spiritual blessings comes through righteousness. God don't bless errors. He looks over them because He knows you don't know better, but He's going to teach you better. Amen. He once winked at ignorance, but now He commandeth all men to repentance. Amen. We have to repent. We have to come to God. Then we begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. After the things of God, what God wants us to do. I think it was this week that we talked about the Good Samaritan. Amen. There was a certain lawyer. He came tempting Christ, you know, he wanted to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And He told him, you must love the Lord thy God with all thy mind and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor also. And he said this, or he told Christ that, and Christ said, you ought to do those things, and also in other places, and not to leave these other things undone. Amen. So He gave him a parable. Amen. He said a certain man went that fell among thieves, and he was half dead. And the Bible says the Levite came by, and he just kept going. Amen. Another came by. He just kept going. But a Samaritan came by, and he stopped, and he mended his wounds and took him to an inn and paid for his way and left money there in case they needed any more. And he said, I'll come back. Bye. If you use more than that, I'll give you more. He said, who? Who was the one that showed mercy? And when He told me to despair it, and he said, do likewise. Now, we do a lot of things. We can do a lot of works that we do. We can go mow the yard. We can do this. We can do that. It's good. It's needful. It has to be done. We can pay our tithes. We can do all of these good things. Amen. But the Sermon on the Mount is teaching you mostly how to be with your fellow man. He said, we have to love our enemies. Amen. In the Old Testament, it was bloody. Amen. But this is out of the mouth of God. Amen. He's given us the Sermon on the Mount. He's given us a perfect Christian standard. We no longer have to fight with arrows and swords and all of these other things. Amen. We fight with the Spirit of God. It's a different thing. Now, God came in a forgiving spirit. Now, the next time he comes, I want to be ready to meet him when he comes. And the only way you can be ready is through Christ Jesus. Amen. And he gives us these beatitudes, showing us the walk that he wants us to walk. And have I kept all of these? I certainly have not. Amen. If I made boast that I've kept all these, well, I've already missed on one. I'm not very humble. Amen. If we want to, he said, not to boast of yourself. Amen. But boast of God. Amen. If you want to be an overcomer, God can help you be an overcomer. And merciful. Help those in need. Be compassionate. Forgive others. Even as he has also forgiven you. Amen. God wants us to do the right thing. Like with the Samaritan. He wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to go the right way and do the right things. And pure in heart. Now, all of these other things that I just mentioned to you are going to get you to this point. Pure in heart, singleness of heart toward God. No hypocrisy, no guile, no hidden motives. An uncompromising desire to please God. Amen. Holiness and contentment and happiness together create in me a clean heart. That's what David said, didn't he? Lord, create in me a clean heart. Amen. You know, and that's the one that's going to have to do it. God is going to have to clean you up. God's going to have to help you. Because when I first come to God, now some of you that was raised in church, and I know some of you wasn't, so you know what I'm talking about. Amen. We just went completely by the desires of the flesh. And we were pretty much singleness in heart. We wanted to please this man. We wanted to do everything that we could to make him happy. Amen. But the opposite of that, we do everything we can to please God. Amen. When we do everything to please God, we'll begin to be happy in God. And how can you see God? How can we see God? John 4 and 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? John 20 and 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, how can I see God? I can see him through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not like a Philip, but I'm not looking straight at him. Amen. But I see God through that sixth sense that we talk about. Faith, I see God. That's how you see God. You're not going to see. Now, I don't believe that Jesus was saying, telling him, you see my flesh. No, he was saying, you haven't seen God in me yet. You haven't seen that I am God. He said, you've been so long a time with me, and you still don't know me? See, we go into this Word of God. You have to approach the Word of God that it is what it is. It's the Word of God. You have to approach it that way. And when you begin to approach the Word of God that way, you will begin to see God. Now, we're not going to see God with these human eyes, because God is a spirit, and we have to see him through spiritual eyes. And that's the way we're going to see God. Well, we should see God every day. We should see him every time you read the Word of God. You see God. You ever hear something about someone and you think, you have your thought, you have what your thoughts already come to how this person is, and then you get to know them, you say, well, you're not even the person at all that I thought you were. Well, that's the way God is. Until you get to know him, you really don't know who he is. You really can't see who God is because you don't know him. I mean, when we come to God because we've heard of God. We've heard of God. We know what we've heard. We know enough to get us to an altar of repentance. But we don't know God yet. Now, there's many ways that we see God. Some see God as an angry God that carries a big stick and just waiting for us to mess up so he can whack us with it. Some see God like that because they really don't know God. And if you read the Old Testament, you see that God is a God of wrath also. But he's made a way of escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We begin to know God in the newness of life. In the New Testament, we begin to know God, know who he is. And know, see, the law, he didn't come, amen, to destroy the law. He came and fulfilled the law. All of these types and shadows was revealing actually the true nature of God. But God cannot stand sin. He won't take any part of it because that would go against God's nature. He can't do it. God's God of truth. He cannot tell a lie. So he can't take sin, but he provided a way of escape through Jesus Christ. And that's the reason Jesus asked Philip, what, you don't know who I am yet? All of these miracles, all these signs I've done, you don't know who I am yet? I am God manifested in the flesh. He sees God in Jesus Christ. Amen. We see God in Jesus Christ through faith. So yes, we can see God. You get a pure heart, you will see God. But a double mind, it will waver. I said something about it a couple of weeks ago. It wavers. Amen. And the Bible said, think not that that man will receive anything. See, we need to have a steadfast mind that we want to see God, that we want to be like him. We want to do the things of God, and we want to do what he wants us to do. And the Sermon on the Mount, as hard as it is, why is it hard? Because it goes against the flesh. Somebody slaps me, I'm going to pray, God, I hope you're with me, because if you're not, I'm going to whack him back. You know, that's our flesh. Amen, but can we get into a place where we just turn the other cheek? Most likely that won't happen, but I think it was a statement being made about how we should be. We should be humble enough to do that. And blessed are the peacemakers. Romans 10 and 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now we see people running around today saying, peace, peace, peace. Oh, blessed are the feet of the peacemakers. There is no peace. Isaiah 48 and 22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There's no peace for man until they get in Jesus Christ. That's where you find your peace. He said, I bring peace. And that's where you're going to find your peace. And blessed are the feet of them that spread the gospel. Amen. If you're spreading this gospel, blessed are you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Because that's the only place that this world will ever find peace. That's the reason they fight and they do all of these things. Because they just can't find peace. They do everything they can. Israel over there trying to talk in peace with the Palestinians. You know, before you can find peace, you've got to forgive. There's no peace where there's no forgiveness. Now the Palestinians, they say, well, okay, we'll do a little bit of this, but we'll never accept you. We'll never accept your right to exist. We will always have in our mind that we're going to destroy you. I don't think I want to make peace with that kind of enemy. Because there is no peace. They can't say, yes, we'll accept you, your right to exist. We will be good neighbors, and you will be good neighbors. And mean that from the heart, and then peace might come. But man's not going to do it because there's no peace for the wicked. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I can read for the disciples how they were persecuted The way we're persecuted today is that, man, you don't like for nobody to make fun of you. That's your, you know what that is? That's your pride. You don't like for anybody to really look at you, oh, he's one of them. You know, because your pride raises up, say, I just don't want the attention. But you know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that he'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But the biggest persecution today is peer pressure. Amen. Children in schools, and my hat's off to kids in school that takes that peer pressure and keep going. I don't think it gets any worse than that. Because a kid is a kid. But I want to read to, and this is pretty much where the church is today, Malachi 3 and 14. I know I only have 15, but bring 14 up too. When he gets 14 up, Malachi 3 and 15 says this, and now we call the proud happy. Amen. You're proud. You know, you're doing good. All right, really, yeah, 15, he's got that up there now. Okay, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. We want to be just as close to the world as we can get. But that's a dangerous place to be. Amen. We look at, even in there's scripture that said they looked on the wicked and seen how they prospered. And they complained to God about it. And then he said when God showed them their end, then he understood. Amen. The thing to serve God has to be, it's going to go against the flesh. It has to. But the thing that we have to do is in the Beatitudes, we have to be humble enough, amen, to yield ourselves to what God wants us to do instead of what the world wants us to do. Amen. So we get to Malachi 3 and 14. Would you put that up? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? What profit is it? That's speaking through your flesh. That's not speaking through faith. Amen. Because through faith we know what the profit is. We know how it's going to profit us. Now this book of Malachi, this was right before God jumped up and left for 400 years. Never heard of nothing. Because they had this attitude. It's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? What profit is it? What good has it done me? My house, it didn't get any bigger. I couldn't buy any better car. We drive nice cars. And you know, God wants us to shine just like we want our car to shine. I went to a car show, and they was constantly buffing on them things, trying to make them as shiny as they could get them, so men would look at them and glorify them. And that's how we need to shine up our lives, that God will look upon us. I mean, the people look upon us and glorify God. Why? Because we're shiny. Amen. An old saying goes, if I get it right, if you walk like a duck, quack like a duck, and it looks like a duck, it probably is a duck. Sometimes the old sayings are the best. But anyway, I don't know if I had to teach these parables. It hadn't been too long ago. Maybe God's trying to show me something, or maybe he's trying to show you something. Or maybe both. All right. Well, thank God. I hope I've helped you a little bit today. And amen. Just remember, this is God's walk. This is what he wants you to do. He wants you to shine your life up. Amen. This is where you get your shine from. This is where your light shines, right in the fine-tuning in the Sermon on the Mount. All right. Lord bless you.
Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Brother Kill. I know we've said it probably numerous times, but what it would be like if Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, those teachings of Jesus to not only to those directly in those days, but to us indirectly in the days in which we live. What if things like this were taught to our children in our schools? What if the Beatitudes became lessons in behavior for children? What if we truly applied the Word of God, the teachings, the ethics of the kingdom of heaven, and instilled them into the hearts and lives of young people? I dare say we would not be dealing with a lot of the situations and circumstances that we are dealing with today. How important is it? Vitally important. How essential is it that we continue to perpetuate teachings of this manner, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, kingdom ethics? It's very important. Because if we don't teach it and we don't pass it on and we don't instill it in the hearts and lives of those generations that are coming up behind us, it will be lost. Lord, help me. All over this house, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Lord, I want more of you, God. More of you in me that I can instill in others, God. Those that I have opportunity to influence and impact their lives, God. Those that I have opportunity to teach, God. To instill into them, God, those things which you have placed in me, God, that I draw closer to you, that they would follow me as I follow you.
In everything I do, bless me.
These altars are open. Why don't we come and spend some time kneeling before the Lord? Help me, God. I know often my flesh resists doing those things which your word says. I know sometimes I see them, God, and from a societal standpoint, many, God, would shun those things. And Lord, help me to accept them as absolutely essential in my life. Essential not only for me, but for those that would come behind me. Lord, that I would perpetuate these things in the lives of others.
And more of you. Everything I do, bless me. I do.